the show that travels America.
Tonight, Box Pop travels to the world. And here are your two Box Poppers. Come in, Sampson, New York.
Aboard the good ship Sampson, here at Sampson, New York. He's got a crew of many thousands of able-bodied seamen, and standing on the bridge of Captain Harry A. Batch, Commandant, and his executive officer, Captain William B. Coleman.
And now, folks, this Wednesday is Navy Day. Tonight, Box Pop salutes Uncle Sam's Navy by chatting with both new men in recruit training and battle-scarred veterans.
Yes, sir, and some of the men are natives of other countries and have fought under the flags of our allied nations.
Well, they're in Uncle Sam's Navy now, and their attitude is, what's the difference where how we serve as long as we fight for the United Nations and win this war? That kind of sure can't lose.
How about it, Clark? How about it? Well, first, there's a bit of Scotland. A man who's fought in the Royal Navy until his gun-plagued wound slowed him down. And afterwards, well, let's chat with him a little bit and see about that. Folks, originally from Glasgow, Scotland, now Chicago, Illinois, fireman first class, Frank Nepping. Frank, you still hanging on to that accent? Doing what?
I'm losing my tongue.
You haven't lost much of it, brother. You haven't lost much of it. I thought you'd come back with something like this, with the Scotsman hangs on to everything he's got, huh?
We haven't got the money, don't I know?
Oh, you bet. Say, Frank, seriously, after Dunsink, what happened? What did you do?
Oh, I went to the North Marina. I called off the war. Torpedo three times? Well, when the Trinidad bumped again, got to the prison. Never checked out and got bumped again off the prison. Here I am.
That's three bumps in a row. Well, that's pretty good. Well, now you've got bumps in Brazil, and here you are. But where'd you go to? After New York?
Yeah, no, we came to Miami, and we came down to New York.
Anything special about your stay in New York?
Sure. That's your marriage there, you know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, the hotel I was living in, I'm still taking it up.
How long you been married, Frank?
3 months.
3 months? Where is she now?
She got
it. What's she doing, isn't
she? Yeah, she's working on the Bendix.
Oh, the Bendix?
That's it?
Good. You both, one on one end and one on the other of it, aren't you? How do you feel about the United States Navy, Frank?
I think it's great.
You bet your life it's great. You know, folks, we've got the greatest CL power on Earth. Did you know that one of our battleships now has 100 times more anti-aircraft power than it had in 1940? And that in 3 years, our Navy has grown from 1,076 vessels of all types up to over 14,000? Good sailing, Fireman Frank Leffick. And from Bromo's house, sir? Or your pretty bride of 2 months, a lovely 17 jewel lady's wristwatch. And for your father and mother in Scotland, a Christmas box filled with such things as dress goods, candy, stockings, razor blades, soap, and a lot of other things. You think they'll like it?
Sure.
Oh, thank you very much, Frank.
Thanks a lot, anyway.
Bye. All right, Warren.
As we said before, in our Navy, you'll find men with varied backgrounds. Here's one, an American, who was in the Finnish Army back in 1935. Now a 3-week-old boot. That means he's in the kindergarten here. He's 30, from Brooklyn, apprentice seaman Alvin Finn Dahlberg. Step right over here, Finn. Say, Finn, how did you land in the Finnish Army?
Well, I made a trip over to Finland, and I married a Finnish girl. I settled down, and,
Well, that was back in 1935, yeah.
Well, see, they have no draft boards in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
They just come and, knock on a door. Well, this one particular day they did, and, well, they ordered me out into the army. I said, you can't take me because I'm an American citizen. Well, they pointed to the wife, who's this? I said, that's my wife. So he pointed over to the crib and said, who's that? See, that's my son. Daughter says, well, get out and fight.
Well, they get right down to the point there, don't they? It wasn't any picnic, was it, though?
No, it sure wasn't any picnic. It sure was tough going all the way.
You were out of supplies and things
like
that?
Well, we were out of supplies and no water, but we were forced to wash our face and feet and what?
Give him an alcohol rub.
Give him an alcohol rub. Right.
Well, I bet you're glad to be back here. Why did you choose the Navy?
Well, I had no choice. I was there.
Oh. So, the Navy took you, huh?
With open arms.
Well, what sort of work have you done in civilian life?
Well, I've been a ship fitter.
Well, you belong here, brother, right in the Navy. After being with soldiers at the front, now, what do you think of these boots?
Well, some of them never even washed before, never made their bed, cleaning up and so forth.
You think it's good for them?
It sure is. Training is very good.
And they're going to learn to get on the ball. Huh?
They sure will.
Finn, are they using your military experience here?
Well, yes, they are.
How?
Well, it goes something like this.
Are you helping to train the boys?
Yes, I'm a platoon leader.
Well, what do you have to do?
Well,
you're very popular, I can see.
Well,
what do you have to do?
Well, I have to keep them in step.
Yes. Tough job?
It sure is.
How do you do it?
Well, I give...
Do you use any finish?
Oh, yes, I use finish, all right.
Well, that was a mystery. Yeah, what do you do?
Well, it goes something like this. Itch, knock, call him in, Eddie, Eddie. Eat,
You mean that's the cadence you say?
That's
now?
The cadence.
They don't know whether they're in the Finnish Navy or in the sea troops.
That's right.
Well, anyway, you probably have a very good time, but I'll hear about them. Just what are you looking forward to in your training?
Well, I'm looking forward to that 7 days.
I see. You struck a note there. Say, we want to thank you, Alvin Finn Dahlberg. You're going to make a great sailor in our Navy. Roman Seltzer wants you to have a couple of things to celebrate you being with us. We've heard of your interest in boats, so we have here a solid oak tool chest with drawers and a stock with a variety of fine Stanley tools. You know, if you're ever shipwrecked, that'll come in handy.
Well.
And we understand that you have a 6-year-old brother and that Roy Rogers, the cowboy star, is his hero. Now, Roy's rodeo is at Madison Square Garden right now, and we told Roy about it, and he said for your mother to bring your little brother over from Brooklyn, and that he was given his picture, he introduced him to all the cowboys, and he could see the show and have one wonderful time. You think he'd like that?
Sure would.
Ah, good. Fine. Thank you very much, friend of Seaman Alvin Dahlberg. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, Bart?
Now, here's Warren Sinatra Ho with a very compelling thought.
Fish got to swim and birds got to fly. But when it comes to our talking box pop train, his one mission in life is to give you sound, sensible advice, like so.
Light headache, not one, not two, but three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Now, after all, what's the use of really relieving the pain in your head if your stomach's still upset and your nerves are on edge? That's why we say the sensible thing to take for common sick headaches is Bromo Seltzer. Quick relief from headache pain. That's the first way Bromo Seltzer helps.
Fast help for jumpy nerves.
That's two.
Quick help for upset stomach.
And that's three. Now, you can take Bromo Seltzer while it's still fizzy or after it settles down. Either way, you get effective relief. Feel better fast. Use Bromo Seltzer only as directed on the label. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But when it's a common sick headache that has you miserable, take this tip from our box pop spray and see how quickly you feel more like your old self again.
More sailors from Sampson Naval Training Station, and next is a Chinese soldier in a U.S. Navy uniform. He's about 27,
He fought in the Chinese army against the Japanese. And once, when visiting his wife in Hong Kong, the Japanese took the railroad and blocked his return to his battalion. After some time in the Dutch merchant marine, he finally made his way to New York. And here he is at the United States Navy's great training station at Sanford. Folks, from Canton, China, Seaman Kem Wa Wong.
Long, how long have you been in the United States?
I have been in the United States about 7 months.
Just 7 months? Well, could you talk English when you got here?
I could not talk English when I got here.
But you speak it very well. Where did you study it anywhere?
I talk English very well. I am studying in the Navy school.
Folks, Wong landed 7 months ago. He didn't know a word of English. What you hear now, he's not reading. He's very carefully and definitely thinking these words and talking them to you. I wonder if any of us talk Chinese so well in 7 months. Wong, tell me, where is your wife now?
She is in safe China.
In safe China. And your father and mother, are they alive?
They are in safe China, too.
Oh, that's good. Well, how long were you in the Chinese army?
I was in Chinese army about 3 years.
And did you fight the Japanese many times?
Yes, sir. I fought the Japanese many times.
I bet you did it, that, too. And, well, what kind of a weapon did you use?
I used the rifle only.
You, the rifle? You were a doughboy. Were you ever wounded?
I was lucky. I never got wounded.
Ah, that's fine. But some of your friends I know must have been hurt.
Yes. About 50 of my friends were killed.
About food, Wong. Were you ever hungry?
Sure. I was hungry and many times.
Many, many times.
Yes.
Well, after you got to the United States, how did you get into the Navy?
When I got to the United States, I read the Chinese newspaper. It said, now that America needed it, some people for army and the Navy. Our people must help the Americans to fight the Japs.
And here you are?
Yeah. So I left my ship and reported to the recruit place. The officer wrote down my name. And then 5 months later, I came into the city.
Fine work, Wong. You're a real man. We thank you very much for being with us tonight. We know you're a brave soldier, and we know you're going to be a brave sailor. What would you like to do in the Navy, Wong?
I want to be a gunner in the Navy.
Oh, you want to shoot. Well, I don't blame you for that, because you've seen enough to want to shoot. But Wong, Romo Seltzer has for you 3 things. One, we know you want it because we've heard your brother say it. You wanted a war bond, so we have a war bond for you. Next, we know you don't have a pen and pencil set, so we've got Waterman's finest set for you. And then you mentioned in talking to you the other day that you wanted a Navy reader, the one by Lieutenant William Fletcher, so we have that for you. Luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, well.
The big job they have here at Sanford Naval Training Station is to take thousands of men in from civilian life and in a short time turn them out first-class fighting blue jackets.
Plenty of them. Day in my life. First time they were injured? No, it was. 2 weeks later off the Guadalcanal.
Oh, was that the time you snuck up on the Japs and knocked out some of them?
No. Japs never knew what hit them.
Well, that's all right, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Arm.
Well, how are you doing now?
I've had quite a few operations for my arm, a little therapy, and As soon as the arm is healed, I'm ready to go back and fight again against the jab.
That's the old spirit. Say, folks, we heard that Dr. Mal Stevens, you know, the famous football coach and surgeon, he's now a lieutenant commander in the Navy Medical Corps, saved Ernie's right arm. That's the way the Navy takes care of its men. A Bromo Seltzer has for you, Ernie, Croton Aquamatic Serviceman's wristwatch. You know, it's waterproof, shockproof, has sleep secondhand. I can't go on and tell you all the fine things about that. And also, for your next furlough, which we know you hope will be around Christmas, we have a round-trip ticket to Staunton, Virginia. And this being National Donut Week, we know how sailors like donuts. We have a little surprise for you, a few of them for you. We have about 100 donuts for you, Ernie. Oh, wait, wait. Look, we're sorry that the rest of the boys over there in the hospital couldn't be here. We know that there are a good many, hundreds of fellows over in the hospital, so we have a few donuts for them, too. 2,000 of them, to be exact. Bring them out, boys. Three husky sailors carrying three great big cartons of donuts. You fellows over there in the hospital, get ready to eat them. Thank you very much, Stephen, first class, Ernest Church.
Thank you, Hot Warren.
Right on. All right, Park. And now for our Vox Pop letter of the week. It comes from Mr. Matthew Justin of Chicago, Illinois, who begins with a very nice compliment to Vox Pop and ends with some very sensible advice. Warren?
Mr. Justin writes, I listen to Vox Pop every week and think it's swell. You're doing a grand job entertaining our boys in the service. And besides that, I'd like to say how much I enjoy hearing your educated Bromo Seltzer train. It sure sidetracked a lot of headaches for me.
And folks, he's not fooling. Mr. Justin is now 67, and he says he's relied on Bromo Seltzer for the past 37 years.
That's right. His letter continues. I first got to know about Bromo Seltzer years ago when, as a young man, I worked in a foundry. I suffered from occasional common sick headaches, but I knew I could depend on Bromo Seltzer to give me quick, effective relief. So did most of the other men. I remember how they used to borrow my bottle. Thanks a million for Bromo Seltzer. I wish all defense workers who have occasional common sick headaches would try it. I know I'd never be without it, either at home or at work.
Thank you, Mr. Justin. And folks, if you haven't tried Bromo Seltzer, how about getting a bottle tomorrow? I promise you, you'll be mighty glad you did.
Now, folks, just want to tell you that we're here in the Sullivan Auditorium, the largest and most beautiful that Vox Pop has ever been in. And it's named after those naval heroes, the five Sullivan brothers of Waterloo, Iowa, who gave their lives for their Navy and their country. All right, Parks, who are we talking to next?
Well, next is a boot, but a man with over 3 years of tough and valuable merchant marine service back of him. There were five brothers in his family, three of them in the merchant marine. Now there are four brothers. We felt that his story belonged on our pre-Navy Day program. Folks, from the Bronx, New York, 22-year-old, husky and friendly, Seaman James V. DeSanza. Seem to be a lot of Bronx boys here, Jim.
Well, I guess there is.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, tell me about your four DeSanza brothers.
Well, one went in the Army, and there's one in the Army Air Corps, and there's one home, and I'm here in the Navy, as you see.
That's right. Now, that's four. And the fifth brother?
Fifth brother, he went down off Iceland. He was torpedoed on a merchant ship.
Uh-huh.
And the ship sunk quite a kind of fast. And
yep.
They tried to lower a lifeboat. The rest were frozen.
Mm-hmm.
They got one away, but the destruction of the ship overturned the lifeboat. Well, my brother and this other fellow, August Wallenhop, and a few other sailors, swam for a raft. They made the raft, and three other sailors couldn't quite make it. My brother and this fellow Wallenhop made the raft all right.
Mm-hmm.
Wallenhop, August Wallenhop, had on a rubber suit. And he tried to keep my brother warm as much as he could.
Yeah.
My brother did not have on a rubber suit, and the cold penetrated him and slowly froze him to death. But August Wallenhop is now in Staten Island Hospital, Marine Hospital, and he had two legs and seven fingers amputated from the coldness.
Only survivor?
The only survivor of the stricken vessel. And the destroyer picked up my brother and Wallenhop, and they couldn't get him off the raft because he was frozen right to it.
So they had to serve it right there.
And he had to serve it right at sea, and Wallenhop was picked up that way.
Well, Jim, tell me why you're in the Navy, although I think I can guess.
Well, I figure this here is about the best place to fight. I'm not afraid of fighting, and I'm in the Navy today to do that. And it's as good a place as any.
You bet your life, and I know you've got every reason in the world to do it. Well, thank you for telling us that story.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fox, and I appreciate it.
Something we want you to remember Bromo Seltzer by.
First of all, it's a saddle, cowhide, toilet kit, and it's full of what should be in a toilet kit, and it's a beauty. Bring it out, Dave. And second, for that new home that your folks have just got and are furnishing and fixing up, we're ordering one of those beautiful white artificial fireplaces complete. You think they'll like it?
I sure appreciate that, Mr. Parker.
Thank you a lot, Jim DeSanza. Okay, Warren.
Folks, just as a note of interest, we'd like to tell you that one of your favorite officer leaders joined the Navy and took his boot training here at Sampson, Art Garrett. Now he's organized a fine Navy orchestra, and we had the pleasure of hearing them yesterday afternoon entertaining thousands of sailors and doing a swell job. Good going, Art. Now, well, the fellows sure like his music here. Now, let's chat with a man, 35, who's a well-known designer of dress fabric. He was born in Paris, France. He served his time in the French Air Force and came to this country in 1931 and became a citizen. Now an apprentice seaman in Uncle Sam's Navy. From New York City, Gilbert Tilliard. Gil, were you a pilot in the French Air Force?
No, sir. But I did some observation. I was attached to the photographic unit of the Air Force.
I see. When were you there last in France?
In 1938.
Could you tell us why you think France fell?
Well, that's pretty difficult for me to tell you what it is, but in my humble opinion, I think the French were divided between two different propaganda, fascists and Nazis. And, of course, they were caught in the middle of the stream, as we would have been caught, too, if Pearl Harbor wouldn't have been so far away.
Well, you mean if the Japs had been at the Canadian border, it would have been tough for us, too?
I'm afraid so.
I see. Well, they had a big army over there in France, didn't they?
Yes, they had a high spirit, too, but you can't fight against tanks with nothing in your hands.
I see. Well, that's a great lesson for us and a bitter experience in France, all right. When we start driving the Germans out of France, Gil, do you think that we'll have plenty of help?
I'm pretty sure about it. They'll all rise up and you'll see what they're going to do with the Nazis. Mm-hmm. They'll cut their ears off.
Not all are going to do to them. How long have you been in the Navy, Gil?
I'm going to my fifth week.
I see. Well, what do you...
4 weeks and a few days.
What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's the greatest organization in the world. And I tell you something else. I think it's very clean, too. And,
how about the food?
Well, the food is edible. But I tell you, I prefer the French prison.
Oh, it's not like your favorite French restaurant. Well, is there anything about it that you don't like to me?
The haircut.
The haircut?
I tell you, it's tough to come here as a Frenchman. And when I look at my picture the other day, well, I look like a Nazi.
Well, Gil, you're going to make a good sailor, I can tell you that. Say, we've heard how boots lose their sideburns here, so to make you feel more natural when you go home on that leave, here's a set of them right here, see? When that leave comes up, we understand it starts about midnight, and we know how every minute counts, so we've arranged to have you rushed over to Geneva so you can catch the first train to New York and be there in the morning. And here's a round-trip ticket for you, too. And while you're there, we've arranged dinner for you at your favorite French restaurant. Business is so good that they didn't want us to mention the name. You know which one it is, though, and you know you're going to have a choice table and your favorite dishes. Bon appétit, monsieur.
Well, that's very nice of you. I didn't expect so much. It was a very great pleasure to be with you tonight.
Thank you, apprentice seaman Gilbert Tilliard. All right, Bart.
Last half of that roar, well, you'll understand it in a minute when I tell you that no Navy Day program would be complete without one of our waves. If more women knew the good that they could do, the waves would certainly have a long waiting list. Our wave tonight is a very pretty and charming brunette, about 22, and a graduate of the University of California. Folks, from Bakersfield, California, Seaman Second Class, Betty Massey. I'd like to call you Betty because that's my daughter's name. Do you mind?
No, I love it. I've been known by that all my life until I came into the Navy.
Thanks a lot. And Betty, just because
If we may get down to where I might have to cut the gifts, do you mind if I give you some little gifts first to remember us by?
No, I couldn't.
Okay, well, first of all is a compact white and gold soft leather case filled with a complete manicure set. Isn't it a beauty?
Oh, that's wonderful.
And in this
that's
other leather case is a very fine candid camera and, for your wave shipmates, a box of Fanny Farmer candy. By the way, wait a minute. How many waves are there in your outfit?
Well, there are 120 of us now, but there's 30 in the first section.
30 in the first section. Bring out 20 more boxes, will you, Dave?
Oh.
Attaboy.
That's wonderful.
Betty, I just want to ask you one or two questions. You are here in the male school, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in the male school.
Uh-huh. And how long after you got out of the University of California did you go into the school?
I was out of the university for 3 days, and then I went to the Navy shooting office.
3 days?
Yes, sir.
How'd you feel when you got here to Sampson the first time?
When I came to Sampson and went in the front gate, I really felt like I was in the Navy.
You are in the Navy.
For the first time.
Betty, I want to ask you this question. I always like to ask this question. Why did you join the Wave?
My boyfriend asked me to join the Wave. And he was in the Navy Air Corps.
Is he in the Navy Air Corps now?
No, he was. He was still.
Oh, he was still. Well, Betty, we all honor you. You're a real American woman, and we know that your service in the Navy is going to mean a great deal to you. I know that you're proud to be a Wave, for one man or for all the men in our uniform.
Yes,
Warren?
Well, I just want to say that I think that I'm very proud of Betty Massey, and I know that on Navy Day, a lot of women in this country will decide the way she did, because the Navy sure needs them. Thank you very much, Betty.
Thank you, Mr.
Yes, folks, it's time for us Fox Pop land lovers to go ashore now. We've certainly enjoyed our visit here to Sampson Naval Training Station.
Next Monday, we'll cross the border into Canada, where we'll chat with pilots and crew members of the Royal Air Force Transport Command, those men who deliver American-built bombers and flying boats to Britain, Africa, and the Far East.
So don't miss Fox Pop next week, folks. Good night, everybody.
So long, everybody.
The appearance of Navy personnel on this broadcast does not necessarily constitute endorsement of our product, as Navy regulations do not permit the endorsement of any product.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when it visits Dorval, Canada. And remember, Bromo Seltzer brings you another great show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. It's radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for time and station. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headaches three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.